Blog Talk Radio.
Benjamin Brothers Realty presents The Michael Van Tol Show, an inspirational community affairs program produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in providing support services for new businesses. Call 248-516-8300. Benjamin Brothers Realty can help you buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing. Call them at 331-248-7120 to find them, fix them, and flip them. And now, author, recording artist, community worker, and Cass Tech graduate, Michael Van Tol.
I am your host. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I please apologize for that. I'm your sit-in host this morning for the Michael Van Tol Show. I am Henrietta Ivy, your political analyst in the city of Detroit and with the Michael Van Tol Show. I'm sitting in with Michael today because Michael is on the campaign trail. He's a very busy man. He's out right now, and he's probably going to be joining and listening in with us if he gets the opportunity. But I have the pleasure of sitting in and being his guest host this morning with the Sunday Morning Team. And we have a great show for you, the city of Detroit. We have an amazing show. We're going to get into some political news today. We're going to get into some local news, and then we're going to get into some overall news and hear from our Sunday Morning Team and what's going on and what's happening in their lives. So I'm going to go down the line here. I'm going to start with the amazing Kimberly Batchelor Davis. Kimberly Batchelor Davis is a author, speaker, lifestyle editor, and she is also one of the Sunday Morning Team's most she gives us the most greatest feel-good stories. I can't even, do what she do because she do it so well. So here, everybody, we have Kimberly Batchelor Davis. Kimberly Batchelor Davis, please, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, Henrietta. Thank you for that amazing introduction. That was wonderful. Good morning to our amazing Sunday Morning Team. Shout out to missionary Hattie Humphrey this morning, and good morning, Detroit.
Awesome. You know what? Exactly. Shout out to the missionary, Hattie Humphrey, Mother Queen, the young woman who has got us all started in what we're doing in this radio life. So shout out to you,
right,
Queen Mother Missionary Hattie Humphrey, this morning. Thank you for all the amazing things you are doing for your community and for the Sunday Morning Team and the Michael Van Tol Show. And let me also include Community Highlights, which is her show. So we can't forget that's where the foundation is with the Community Highlights. And then we have the Michael Van Tol Show that birthed out of that. Next, we have online with us the amazing songstress, singer, Christy Laster. Good morning, Christy. If Christy's with us, if you're having a little bit of difficulties, we'll come back to you, Christy. Then I'm going to move on down the line with our amazing chaplain, Bishop Kathy, who's also a singer, songwriter. He does a lot of amazing things in our community. But one thing he know how to do is get the God in you when he starts to sing. Chaplain, please join in with us and say hello to Detroit.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And I'm thanking God already for keeping you. Amen. Keeping you all in perfect peace. Shout out to the missionary. Shout out to Mike. Shout out to the amazing Sunday Morning Team. And you know how it is. Shout out to the missionary again. And shout out to Detroit.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, we have an amazing show this morning, guys. I'm super excited about the conversations we're going to have around the election. I am looking forward to Kim's beautiful, amazing lifestyle editor's stories. And of course, Chaplain, I'm also looking forward to some amazing spiritual food for thought with us this morning. I'm sorry, y'all. I haven't had my coffee, so my mind is like racing right now, and my mouth can't keep up with the thought. So I am looking forward to this, and I want to, again, thank Michael Van Tol for entrusting me to do the show again for him this morning. As I stated earlier, he's out on the campaign trail. He's a very busy man. He's doing what he do best, and that's making people winners. So, Michael, again, thank you for allowing me and entrusting me to host your show this morning. So, listen, we're going to get into some weather and some news. I want to start off by talking a little bit about what's going on in the election. Now, most of you, if you haven't seen it or if you did see the debate that was on last Thursday. Hello, can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Yes.
The debate that took place with Governor Gretchen Whitmer and Tudor Dixon, they faced off last Thursday in the gubernatorial debate. Now, the candidates for the governor, these are candidates who are both running for Michigan's governor's seat, had their first debate on Thursday. As Republican challenger Tudor Dixon looks to use the primetime appearance to narrow her gap with the Democratic Gretchen Whitmer. This debate took place last Thursday. It was on national news. Dixon is a former commentator for a conservative online program who was endorsed by Donald Trump. She has never held a public office, and she is still working to introduce herself and her ideas to the voters, some of whom saw her in action for the first time at last Thursday's debate. For months, Whitmer and fellow Democrats have been airing attack ads, portraying the Republican as too extreme on issues such as abortion, noting Dixon's opposition to the procedures, even in cases of rape and incest. These ads have largely gone unanswered as Dixon has struggled to raise money to compete with Whitmer's multi-million dollar campaign. But with just a few weeks away from the November 8th election, Dixon is expected to fire back at Whitmer during the debate in Grand Rapids. She was describing the governor's views as radical on issues such as education, abortion, and criminal justice. Dixon also criticized Whitmer on the campaign trail for her approach to the COVID-19 pandemic, saying lockdowns that she opposed hurt the state economy. Whitmer is seeking her second term as governor after serving a leadership in the Michigan legislature, where in 2013, during a debate over insurance coverage of abortion, she publicly shared her story of being raped. She has since said that she will fight like hell to protect abortion rights, including filing a lawsuit earlier this year to block a 1931 ban from taking effect in the state after the abortion has been a particular prominent issue in Michigan this year, because voters in November will also decide whether to enshrine the right to the procedure in the state's constitution. So we have Michigan Republican John James is back in the news, you guys. He is showing a poll from Michigan's newly drawn 10th congressional district. Shows good news for the Republican. He's heated up when he's running for a seat in the House of Representatives. The WDIV Detroit News poll shows that 400 likely voters in the state of Oakland, in the state's Oakland and Macomb counties, collected voters' attitudes on current candidates and the respondents' level of the opposition about the state economy. Results show that 400 likely voters polled in the 10th district, 44% of respondents would back GOP John James, which while only 36% will back the Democratic Democratic component, Carl Mangley, according to the WDIV News poll. So John James is pretty much leading in that race against his opponent, so we'll see how that turns out. Voting is important. Detroit programs help Detroiters facing displacement become homeowners. Nearly 240 Detroiters have become homeowners this year thanks to a new program. It allows residents living in foreclosed homes to purchase that house before it goes into public auction. The Make It Home program allows renters in these foreclosed homes to buy the house with a 0% interest land contract and a payment plan. Officials said residents pay an average of less than $10,000 to become a homeowner through this program. Laura Graneman is the vice president of the Rocket Community Fund. Every single renter whose landlord isn't paying their property taxes should have the first right to purchase that property. And I am so proud to say that over 1,300 families are now homeowners, despite a system that causes so much turmoil across the community, she stated. All right, those are my local news pieces and a little bit of my political analyst news. I'm going to go to Kimberly Batchelor Davis. Kimberly, what's going on within your world this morning?
So good morning. So Henriette, I'm going to remind you, we said last week we were going to let Bishop Kathy go first.
We did say that, didn't we? I wanted to honor that,
and then we can come back to me.
All righty, well, Bishop.
You know what?
Take it away, Bishop.
God bless you for reminding her. I was sitting back here, and I said, Lord, please don't let them remember. You hear me? I said, I got away, Lord. I said, Lord, I just got away.
You would have gotten away, but unfortunately, Kimmy has a brain that remembers every detail. So we thank God for her. So, Kimmy, thank you, because I surely did forget.
Wow.
I'm a storyteller. That's why.
Right. Thanks for helping us. Thanks for helping her remember what she forgot. You hear me? But I want to take that
You're very welcome.
I want to take that right there and say shout out again to all of you. And thanking God for all that he is doing in our lives. We are up today. God has allowed the breath that he breathed in the nostrils of Adam to get us up again today. And for that, we know that we have a purpose. And if I was to say anything to everyone, know your purpose. Know your purpose. A lot of times you hear people say, know your worth. If you know your purpose, just as you do as we know our worth, oh, my God, we would be amazing. Life would be amazing. There's a lot of stuff that's going on out in this world right now. And so one of the things that I would like to say to the people as well is that you are not defined by the purpose of anyone else. Whatever someone else's purpose is, don't necessarily mean that it has to define you and that this is the purpose that you have in your life. God purposed us to do things in our life, those things that are conducive to the lifestyles in which he wants his sons and daughters to live. So just today, just know your purpose, just like you know your worth. Amen. And keep on, keep it on. Keep doing what God has called many of us to do, but has chosen so many to do, to be an example of what is to get done. So I just thank you all today. Again, shout out to everyone that's listening, and God bless you. See, I kept it on simplicity today. You hear?
I was just going to say, you kept that in timing. Look, let me tell you something. We have a whole hour and a half this morning, so we have time to talk and discuss, and we won't run into the issue we had last week when we were getting good and everything was getting juicy and we were giving our final words, and boom, we got cut off. So today, Michael did an hour and a half. So we definitely have a good time to have some really great conversations and to have some good feedback from our callers, and the listening audience get to hear some extended information that's going on in the city of Detroit. So thank you, Bishop.
Did you see that message I put? I was like, what? That lady cut us off, man. I got a Breeders card. I done bought us some chicken. I would have bought us some chicken, some fish, and I would have won. And she could have gave us more time.
Right. That's right. She was abrupt with it, too. She was like, thank you. And click, we were done.
Right. Yeah. It was like cut off.
It was gone. Yeah. We were gone.
I'm sitting back waiting on my last turn. I said, Lord, have mercy, man. I close outside, man, this lady, that boy, thanks for using Blog Talk Radio.
I
would have bought you a whole, we could have went to Kroger's. I'd have took her to Kroger's and got us up, man. We got money.
No.
We got money.
Well, we got it this morning. We got an hour and a half, everybody, so we can really get into some really good conversations, and we can, again, have the callers join in, and if they have something they want to know about or something they want to add to the conversation, the hour and a half will allot us that time frame to get some good conversations going and stay within our time frame. So by the time we're done doing all we have to do and giving our final commentaries, we will run right into that hour and a half. So thank you, Michael, again, for giving us this hour and a half time frame so we can really get into some good conversations. Kimberly, what's going on in your world, darling?
So good morning. Thank you, Bishop, for that wonderful message, yes, because knowing your purpose is very important. And so each of us are community advocates. We are a voice for the community. We support a variety of programs that assist the community. So yesterday I had the opportunity to attend Vice President Kamala Harris's event in Southfield. There was a resource that was given for Michigan residents by Lieutenant Governor Garland Gilchrist, and it is mi.gov, G-O-V, as in Victor, /, vote, V as in Victor, O as in Oprah, T as in Tom, E as in Edward, mi.gov/vote. On that form, you can find out if you are registered to vote. You can find out where your voting location is, find out candidates, information, everything that you need to know about voting, you can find it. So that is a resource, and that is part of our purpose when we talk about providing service and a voice to the community.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to switch a little bit to my feel-good story. And thank you, Henrietta, because Henrietta actually sent this to me. And it is titled, Black Mom on Moving Her Family from the U.S. to Mexico. I do not experience the racism here that I did in Georgia. I thought this was a fascinating story because we talk about expats, people who have moved different places in the world but no longer live in America but still retain their citizenship. And we always think of it as everybody else. But it was interesting to hear this woman's account. And so I'm going to read just a little bit of it briefly. Her name is Lakeisha Williams, and she was living in Atlanta when she decided to make a big move to a community for a third of the price that a smaller apartment in Atlanta would cost. Moving became a real option for her. Plus, she would save half, guys, on electricity each month, and more than half on gas each time she filled up. And that's without taking the currency conversion into account. As a startup strategist with the flexibility to work remotely and a homeschool system already in the works, she's a mom that homeschooled, moving just made sense. Williams and four of her kids packed their bags, the oldest stayed back for college and started a new adventure in Mexico later. More than a year later, Williams shares what her family's experience is like as she works full-time and homeschools her children as a single parent. She said homeschooling can happen anywhere. And what she did is she calls it unschooling. So when kids go to the grocery store and they have to measure for it becomes an assignment. When you are interacting with different people and trying to communicate, that becomes an assignment. She talks about the weather is a mental health boost. And she said, you know, I'm a beach person. The weather is great. The only drawback that they had to worry about were hurricanes, and we are in an active hurricane cycle. She said her landlord told her, well, you have to board up your windows. That was the only thing she had to do, so it was a new experience. They're thriving, but what she said greater than anything, she says the ability to feel free to be themselves. Safety when it comes to living in her own skin and for her children has also been a noticeable benefit. In America, racism has plagued the Black community in a way that makes it difficult to live a normal everyday life without being on guard all the time. I definitely do not experience the racism here that I did in Georgia, she shared. Here, I've been really free to be me and not have to worry when I see the police that something bad is happening. She also says getting around can be a struggle, transportation. She doesn't have a vehicle, so they're relying on mass transit, which is a little bit different there. And she also says in the article, they're actually planning to move from the one community that they moved to a larger, more expansive expat community. And she did say, building a village has its challenges. Williams' children do miss certain aspects of the state. In Georgia, after their homeschooling, each will go to different after-school programs. The youngest one had a form of daycare, and the others will go to the Boys and Girls Club. There was that built-in support system where they can interact with other kids and an option for me to have that break as a mom, Williams shared. In Mexico, they don't have the same programming opportunity. So when we think about kids in different places, we have to remember that everybody doesn't have the same opportunities that we have here. Mm-hmm. However, the richness of the culture, the difference in how things work in the country, those can be benefits, and you just have to figure out how to tap into them. She said the family is waiting on their official Mexican residency, and the immigration laws have recently changed, making it more complex to live in the country, which we know because of the political back and forth between Mexico and the United States. Once they are settled, they plan to either stay in Playa del Carmen or move to a community called Merida, a Mexican city with a bigger expat community as well as a community of homeschooled children and single moms. While it's not as close to the beach as Playa del Carmen is, the other benefits might outweigh that for now. William notes that she can also travel part of the time and stay put the other part to have a stronger home base. What an amazing story for a woman who took a chance on doing something better for her family.
You know what, Kim? And I saw this story. The first person I thought about was you. And I said, I got to get this story over to Kim because I read it and I'm like, wow, how, like you said, how cool is that to be able to go when you decide that where you're living. And let me be clear, America, I love the country I live in. I don't like all the things that is actually happening now in our country due to political disruption and fighting over, you know, these parties fighting over policies that's going to affect both sides of the fence. Let's be clear on that. So, and I thought about this story, I'm like, how many people are probably going to start doing that? Literally looking for other places to live if things in this country don't get back on track. Now, mind you, we're talking about a country that has allowed all kinds of amenities and opportunities and, of course, built on a lot of racisms and, you know, viciousness. But end of the day, when we try to gather in the idea of what this country offers, as opposed to what it can do to make you want to look at other options, it's kind of scary because I've never thought that I would actually have a mindset of leaving the United States based upon the policies that's given in our political system. And so when I saw the story, I'm like, you know what? Sometimes you really just got to take a chance and just go do what you think is best, whether it's here or whether it is abroad. You have to be able to know that you want your family safe. And then the amenities she talked about, that change of having all the technologies and all the things that made it easy for her to do what she did, but yet if she still found it hard to live here financially-wise. So I was like, I just thought it was a great story, and you represented the story very well, Kim. Thank you so much for giving us this piece and breaking it down like you did. Again, so it just gives me the opportunity to say, hey, maybe I need to look at Mexico, because I was saying Canada, but look like Mexico might be pretty cool, too.
But remember, you got to know how to speak Spanish. You have to learn how to speak Spanish. And she did talk about that language.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
She did. So they have something called an immersion programs on Babbel, or I use an app called Duolingo. There are quite a few that you can use to help you if you want to learn a different language. Spanish is something I took in high school. I took it again in college. When I was in college, I was more proficient.
Mm-hmm.
As of late, I've wanted to get back to that point, so I've been doing this practicing, and my son now is taking Spanish, so it's sort of one of those things. Okay, let me help you while you help me with Spanish, and that way, hopefully, I've always wanted to be able to speak a second language. And with the number of people around the world that actually speak Spanish, it is good to have a second language, because if you decided that you wanted to move to Mexico, that helps you.
Absolutely. And you know, it's funny because you said your son, but my granddaughter, we were talking the other day. She said, Grandma, I got an A in my Spanish class. I'm like, oh, so you fluent. She's like, yeah. And she said, and so she started talking some stuff to me in Spanish, and she just ran it off like it was you know, like it was nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I am going to have to learn, like you said, Kim, I'm going to have to learn a second language. I really want to learn how to speak Japanese, which is one of, to me, is one of the harder languages to learn.
Is. It is.
But my stepson actually learned Japanese very well. Like, he knew how to write it, and he knew how to speak it. But that was because it was a passion for him. He really wanted to learn Japanese and put a lot of energy into that passion, and he became very fluent. So I was like, well, when I ever decide to go to Japan, I know who to call. I got to call Super Cam. I call him Super Cam because the boy is so darn intelligent, and he soaks up things like a sponge. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to take him with me because I know he knows the language. And but you're right. Mm-hmm. It is always, you know, feels like we have to learn more than what we're accustomed to be able to cross culture, other cultures, because, you know, I am a person who likes to see what other cultures do. I'm intrigued by what other, how other people live in different parts of the world. My drawback would be the language, because I'm not fluent in anything, but you know, some, I'm very fluent in English. I think I know how to speak Spanish. You know, I know how to say, you know, I watch Dora, so I learned some things from those cartoons that you put your kids and grandkids in front of, and you learn at the same time. But do I remember them? No. So I got to brush up on some things as well. And it's amazing that she was able to take her family abroad into this new adjustment. And it just speaks that, you know, sometimes you have to do what you have to do. And it definitely speaks to the comforts we have here, that when we go to other places in the world, that it's beautiful, but yet we have to adjust to all the ease that we have here and go back literally to some manual living, which to me, I think we should never forget, because that's the foundation of survival, is knowing how to do things in a way that technology can't replace. So we tend to forget that because, again, we are a country that's thriving. We have evolved into so many different things, and when it comes to lifestyle and living and making things easy with the touch of a finger. And when you go to other cultures, they're still doing things, you know, as people would say, the hard way, but I would say the manual way, which is, you know, I can guarantee you that they'll survive when we wouldn't, if we keep trying to do everything easy like we're doing. It tends to take away from those lessons that you learned as a child, you know. And so you forget our foundation because everything is so easy. So it was a pretty cool story, and I really wanted you to uplift, and you did an amazing job. Thank you so much, Kim. So, but
no
we
problem.
Have some callers
Thank you.
On the line. We have caller number ending in 6601. Hi, caller. Who are you? And tell us, and thank you for joining the Michael Van Tool Show with the Sunday morning team this morning. How are you this morning? And please give us your name.
6601 is my number, hunty. I had my call dropped, so I had to call back in.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for listening. All right. So we have a caller with number ending in 7940. Go ahead, caller. Please give us your name. And thank you for joining the Michael Van Tool Show.
Now, you all know who this is.
Hey,
listen, brother. Look, you know what? I don't have it down pat when it comes to these last digits, but I know the voices. Good morning, Pastor Randall Smith, our at-large team member. How you doing? Thank you for joining us.
Awesome.
Give us something. What's going on with you, brother? Talk to us. Tell us what's going on in your world.
Well, this time next Saturday, I'll be officially deemed as senior pastor.
Congratulations.
So I need you all to come and support and work with me, help me, and we're going to go forth in the wheel. And then we're officially going to be relaunching the record label in December, but we're getting everything lined up with the recording artists and so forth and so on. And so we're moving forward. Hopefully, I'm supposed to get married, I think New Year's or something like that. I'm working it out with her now.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question.
Congratulations.
Now, this is a rebound or this is a new love that you're breaking
off
into?
I'll do no rebound. Let me rebound. New love.
So this is the new queen that you're marrying.
No. Oh, this is my new boo.
Your new boo. All right. Congratulations to you and your new beautiful wife-to-be. I hope you and wish you many, many happy years. You know, sometimes we have to fall out of love to fall back in love with the right person that God has meant for us. So it's all good. And congratulations to you and her. And make sure you get us that wedding date and some invitations sent out, because I'm sure the Sunday team was going to want to sit into those nuptials and help you enjoy your day.
Listen, I need you all to keep next Saturday in your minds and hearts. It's going to be short. It's not going to be long. We're just going to be mounting, and then we're going to go into building. So, Kathy, you can get out your mind about missing next Saturday, bro, because I need help.
I don't mind helping, but my problem be, you know, you got to be careful, man, when folk call you somewhere. Because you long-winded preachers. You hear me?
Not me, bro. I couldn't take that fast, bro.
I tell you, I went to a funeral. I told y'all before, I went to the funeral. The preacher was preaching a eulogy so long that Sister Jackie got up the casket and said, I'll meet y'all at the cemetery. So
no
I'm
way!
To,
you know what? Listen, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to go outside because I don't want to say nothing. You know, Kevin, you crazy. You know that.
I know that, man. I know that. And then, but listen, one more part to it was is that when we got to the cemetery, Sister Jackie was throwing the dirt on herself, saying, I don't want to hear nothing else from that rep.
Okay, I'm going to hear you. I'm not going to deal with you, Neil. I'm not.
This
is
really good.
This is
really sad. Throwing the dirt on herself, like literally.
Yes, you know what? God will give you discernment of spirit.
Yeah,
that's a joke.
You know,
yeah, that's
like
a joke.
Right.
Let me clear that.
I tried to help.
Sister Jackie was
out.
The one that was in the casket. You hear me?
Right.
Sister Jackie
right.
was
oh,
the one that was in the casket, and she got tired of waiting.
You know what?
Henrietta, first of all, he wasn't going to stick around if somebody would have got out the casket.
I don't think none of them are going to stick around.
No, I wouldn't have.
That would have
been a miracle.
No.
You know, somebody jumped out of a coffin. I'm like, wait a minute now. You know, I'm not going to ask questions.
No.
I'm about to run and ask later what happened.
No, we don't do it. Hey, Henrietta, we don't ask no questions. You already know it. When you see a leg move,
It's time to go.
It's amazing. It's amazing when they see death move, everybody want to go running. But
look,
yes,
I can't run, but I know
that
how
part
you see me now, you don't.
Oh, bless you. Congratulations on everything, bro.
We have everything marked out for the Sunday morning team. The front rows for you all.
Okay. Okay, beautiful.
Bless his heart.
And what day
is
the time and date? I mean, give us the
next Saturday. It's
your
this,
wedding
the 22nd.
Is it?
No, it's not
year.
Until December. No.
Gotcha. Okay.
But the launching service is this coming Saturday on the 22nd at 11:30 in the second floor conference center out in Southfield where the office is.
Okay. I'm writing all this down so I can make notation because I do know, and I'll say this, and I'm going to do my very best to attend this because our organization has us working on Saturdays now, which I find to be a little crazy because when we work in Monday through Saturday, we're 10 hours a day in already. So when you talk about a weekend where that's the only time you really have to enjoy and catch up and do some things that need to be done, it gets a little rigorous. So I won't commit, but I will say this. I'm going to do my very best to try to be in attendance. But if not, I know the Sunday morning team will definitely rock it out in representation.
Yes, we will definitely.
I would be looking for y'all Saturday. And Sis Kim, call me later on the day, sis. Call me later on.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Randall. Love you too. Thank you so much for joining in on us on the conversation with us this morning. So listen, everybody, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to have weather from our amazing weather lady, Miss Kimberly Batchelor Davis, and we will get into some more topics right after the commercial breaks.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Then make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. With Johnny Hawkins, a nationally recognized super lawyer, he cares, and his primary focus is on providing exceptional service to each client, and not just winning big. For your free telephone consultation with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. Again, that's 248-567-9990. Support Black excellence by allowing Black excellence to support you through service.
Benjamin Brothers Realty presents The Michael Van Tol Show, an inspirational community affairs program produced by Michigan Ocean.
Whether you're buying your first home or planning for retirement, RAM Insurance and Financial Services have got you covered, literally. We're a full-service, family-owned and operated, independent insurance agency that offers all-encompassing services for our clients. Here, we work with different companies to keep you protected. We operate through holistic planning, keeping you safe through all of life's milestones. From auto, home, life, and health, business, or retirement services, it's all about you.
At RAM Insurance and Financial Services, it's about relationships, not transactions.
And now, back to the Michael Van Tol Show, sponsored by the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tol.
Let me tell you something, don't you worry about a thing tonight. All right, everybody, we are back with the Michael Van Tol Show. I am your guest host sitting in for Michael Van Tol. I am Henrietta Ivey, your political analyst, and I'm sorry at the top of the hour I didn't get an opportunity to tell everyone what I do. So I am a home care advocate activist. I am currently now the director of Dove Department on Outreach, Voting, Education, and Engagement with Righteous Sons, 501c3 nonprofit organization. I am sitting on the board with this amazing organization. I'm very proud to have been able to bring aboard my expertise as a voter engager and trainer. So, you know, I wear many hats, but the biggest thing that I do in the community is talking to the people about the right to vote, their power into the vote, and getting them brought up to date and getting them engaged about the importance of changing our communities through the power of voting. And so I am more than excited about this election that's coming up. I want everyone to understand how very important it is for us to utilize that power. I was having a conversation with one of my activist friends, and I believe we were just, you know, going into some deep dive conversation around why people aren't voting and what make our younger generation think that their vote doesn't count. And he simply put it is, if we could all think about our right to vote as a thank you to the people who set the pathway for us to be able to have the amenities that we have right now through the power of the vote. It wasn't that long ago that African Americans were not able to have to do some of the things we're doing now. It's only been a little over 55 years, almost 57 years that we've been into the right to vote. And I say that because it became the amendment was written and it came into law the year I was born, and I'm going on 57. So we're talking tonight, not too long ago, that we didn't have any civil rights. You understand what I'm saying? So I am very, 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 very much engaged in pushing the power of the vote. If I don't do anything else, I do a lot of things, but I push that power of the vote because I know that I'm getting older. my communities. I am watching them with my own naked eye, and I see how our communities are changing. And some of it for the good, and a lot of it for the bad. And a lot of that ties into legislation. A lot of that ties into resources that our communities are not getting. And that the ones that are getting the resources and the and all the things that they're getting is through their power of the vote. So that's what I do. And I wanted to let everybody know that, you know, I didn't get an opportunity to let you know who I am. I am also part of the Sunday morning team. And, yeah, that's what I do. You know, I'm that girl. If you want to know how to do it right and you want to know how to get that vote in and what you're voting for, why you voting for it, talk to me. I'll be more than happy to let you to get sit you down and have these dive conversations on the importance of voting. But Kimberly, we're going to turn it to you. What is the weather like for the rest of the week? And please tell us we're going to get some warm weather.
So currently, good morning again. Currently, it's 47 degrees. It's cloudy. I'm looking out my window. I actually can see peaks of sunshine, so that's a good thing. But today, we will have a high of 60. The day will be partly cloudy with a low of 39. Tomorrow, this is more scattered showers.
No!
And a low of 36. On Tuesday, more scattered showers, a high of 48 and a low of 35. On Wednesday, we'll have a few more showers that will come through with a high of 47 and a low of 36. On Thursday, cloudy with a high of 54, a low of 38. On Friday, increasing guys, partly cloudy skies, a high of 56, a low of 37. And then on Saturday, it will be mostly sunny with a high of 61 and a low of 43. And that's the weather.
You know what, Kim? I was sitting here and I was thinking, you know, we're gonna get she gonna mention at least 75 one of these days. So I'm a little disappointed in Mother Nature right now, because it looks like we are going into full fledged fall now, because the trees have changed orange. And every day I look out my window, I pray to God that I see a green tree, and I'm not seeing any green trees anymore, which leads me to believe we're going to stay into this cold weather. We're going to stay into this. So
yes.
I guess you got to really pull out the skull caps, the scarf, and the gloves, and the boots. Because
exactly.
We are no longer, I can't wear little cute little clothes anymore.
I don't believe we're going to see any more 70s until next spring or next year.
Oh, man.
We got you some help on here, Kim. Don't worry about it. We got you.
Okay.
Thank you for giving us that amazing. I can't even say amazing, but I'll just say thank you, Kim, for being an amazing weather girl, because I'm not liking Mother Nature right about now. I'm not ready for hats and gloves just yet. I still got a few outfits I want to show everybody, but that's okay. I'll go ahead and pull the long johns out and, you know, I'll make it look cute some kind of way, but that 40-something, that 50-something ain't cool when you out here walking these streets talking to people. It's not nice.
No,
you know,
it's not.
Running back to your car trying to get some heat.
Yeah,
Layer up. We have a caller online. I believe it's Mr. Andre Otis. If you all remember who Andre Otis is, he is the candidate that ran in the primaries for Wayne County Commissioner, and he has joined us this morning in this call. So I wanted to tell him, hey, Mr. Otis, how you doing this morning? And let us know what's going on with you. What are you doing since the election is over? What have you been up to?
Good morning, everybody. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Good morning. It's just been a blessing. I call myself the hardest working man out here without a real job right now. So, I mean, it's ever since then, you know, everything is going, you know, in a positive way. I'm able to get out here and talk to people a lot more. It's just, you know, I'm starting to get annoyed with going to some of these events and see the same people at some of the same events. You know, it's like preaching to the choir sometimes. We have to get out here and start kidnapping people at some point to get them involved, because to keep going to the same meetings and the same events and talking to the same people, we know they're voting. We know they're going to get out. But we have to get to a point to where we start doing the hard work and getting other people in our families, the ones we hold close friendships with, get involved. We know a lot of these people are out here. So instead of us having these conversations and talking to each other, sometimes you just got to count the kind artists. Tell somebody, look, we're going to have some fun somewhere. We're going to a party. And then show up to an event and meet. And then when you get to that event and meeting, make them be engaged. Make them speak. Because one thing we have to learn is you got a lot of people that are disengaged in voting because you only hear from people in election years. The hard work is when you're not running for the elections. It's getting people involved then. Because you already know once you become a candidate, of course you want people to vote. But what are you doing outside of just your candidacy? What are you advocating for? What are you fighting for? Where is your heart really land? And if it's really in the community, the community should say so. So those are just some of the pressing things. I really thank you all for the work that you do and the platform that you all have. So that's all I have. So thank you very much for involving me this morning. I'll be here throughout this conversation.
Thank you. You know, Andrea, I saw you at an event yesterday at the Church of the Messiah. We were both at that event yesterday, and there were we heard Dana Nesso speak about the power of the vote. We heard State Representative Tyrone Carter talk about the power of the vote. And Sunday morning team, our own Kenneth King was there talking about the power of the vote. It was so many powerful people in that room yesterday at the Church of the Messiah right down here on East Grand Boulevard in Detroit. The pastor there is who operates in that church is Randall. It's Pastor, Lord have mercy.
Randall.
Thank you. And he gave us the opportunity to join. And I had the opportunity to stand up and give a few words, too. And let me tell you, you know, we are in a... And I know there was something that was mentioned during this conversation at that event yesterday. And I know that people hear it all the time. And Dana Nessel said it best. The people hear it all the time. Well, this is the season that you have to get out and vote. Your life depends on it. And people hear that every election season. And the reason why we rotate that conversation about it being the most important election of your life, because every election is the most important election of your life, because as we can see, every election something has changed. Some type of legislation either was taken away or trying to add to something to take away amenities for communities of color and people who are at a disadvantage. So every election is an election that you must vote like it's your life depended on it. So we were out there, and it was great to see you there, Mr. Otis, because, again, you are one of the most hardest working young people out here trying to keep the community engaged on things that they need to know about, and you are really pushing to make sure communities are being built and people are getting the resources, and you are one of those people that if someone in the community needs to know something, they can definitely call you, and you will definitely direct them to where they need to go, because you sat in some of those seats yourself when you worked under former Councilman Roy McAllister. So you learned a lot about how to build community. So it was good to see you yesterday. And again, thank you for the work that you are doing, have done, and will continue to do to build our communities up. But listen,
well, one thing
guys,
I want to say is it's the difference between building community and helping change society. And that's what our business is about. I want to help change society. I don't just want to build a community. I want to be able to make sure societal change around here, because we all know that we're in a war for ourselves out here. Right now, unfortunately, we're loose to this whole other side. So once we become, you know, one people again and create our own societal changes, everything will start looking out a lot better. So that's how I'm looking at it.
Absolutely. You know what? I found this article. I'm going to switch gears just a little bit, and I found this article, which I thought was really, really cute, and I literally say that when I say age is just a number, it really is. You are as young as you feel. You understand? And so I found this article. It's called The World's Oldest Supermodel is 91 years old and has been working since 1946. Now, as I looked at this article, and I'm looking at this 91-year-old woman, flawless, in a red dress, I was just floored by the fact that, you know, you really are as young as you feel. And that is something my father used to tell me all the time. And he was one of those people that you never really could tell his age, because He looked so young, and people thought a lot of times my father was in his 50s when he was in his 70s. And when he got in his 70s and 80s, they thought he was still in his 50s. I'm like, you just froze with time, Daddy. So, but he always said, I don't feel old. I don't feel sick. You are what you think. And he is, he was, God rest his soul, he's passed away in 2016. But I never will let that, you know, that conversation leave me, because I kind of think like that even with myself. I'm as young as I feel. And as we get older, we tend to, you know, we hear the ageisms and we hear people say, oh, you're old and you can't do that anymore. We understand as we get older, the things we can't do anymore like we did when we were in our 20s and 30s. We get it, and maybe even in our 40s. But one thing about it, you can still be happy and flawless in no matter what age you are. And so her name, she is the world's oldest supermodel. Her name is Cameron Del Orfeo. Now, I've never really heard of her, but I think I may have seen her in some stuff, you know, as a little girl. I don't know. I can't remember. But she is currently 91 years old. Cameron was born in 1931 in New York and received her first modeling assignment in 1946 when she was 15 years old. She appeared on the Vogue magazines. She appeared in, the 1946 and 1947 issues of Vogue. She became the cover model for Vogue, and she was also featured in Harper's Bazaar and Vanity Fair. She worked so many years. She wasn't a supermodel, so to speak, like your Naomi Campbells and all of the women who gained national, you know, fame from modeling, but she is cited as being the oldest model currently working at 91 years old. She got married and she retired from modeling in 1959, and she returned back in 1978 until now. She has not achieved, like I said, the level of fame like Cindy Crawford, Naomi Campbell, but she became a regular on the modeling circuit for different campaigns, including Marie Claire, Harper's Bazaar, and other well-known fashion houses. She works in the U.S. and internationally currently. I took that as, you know, just a sign of, you know, you can keep doing it as long as you feel like doing it. It's like an inspiration for me to say all the stuff that I'm doing, as long as I get up in the morning, I have breath in my body, I'm going to do some things that I want to achieve. And I just want to say, you know, aging up is not a bad thing. At 91 years old, and then I think about Missionary Hattie Humphrey, who's, what, 93 now? And she's still going, driving, doing events, speaking engagements. I mean, she gets around. So when I think about these amazing women who are in their 90s, it only helps me look forward to my 100 years. And so I thought that was a pretty cool little story, that at 91 years old, and I thought about Missionary, who's still doing it at 93. It just gives me something, it gives me encouragement. I guess I'll say this, there will never be grass growing up under my feet. So, and these ladies give me inspiration to not let the grass grow up under my feet. So, it's pretty cool. But let me also say this too. I have to give a shout out to Byron Allen. You know, Byron Allen is the billionaire mogul, media mogul. This man is doing, he's doing his thing, okay? And he's in a warm state where he has just purchased, in history, the first African-American in U.S. history to have purchased a home in Malibu's Paradise Cay for over $100 million. Now, let me tell you something. I don't know if I'll ever be able to feel what $100 million looks like, but I can live vicariously through the eyes of Byron Allen, who the Los Angeles-based Media Group Entertainment. He is CEO. His company is valued at more than $4.5 billion, with a B, and it's the largest privately owned held media company in the United States. You hear me? Byron owns, and I didn't even know all this, but I happened to, you know, read his little bio. He owns ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox Network affiliated broadcasting TV station, as well as a 24-hour HGTV network and various streaming platforms like The Weather Channel, HBCU, sports TV, comedy, TV, local, and now even more. Look, let me tell you something. Can't nobody say it can't be done. That's all I'm going to say. Byron Allen, shout out to you for your new purchase on your $100 million home in Malibu. You are doing it, brother, and thank you so much for giving us your life. So, you know, vicariously, I can try to maybe one day get to that. I don't know if I will, but if I do, I will let y'all know, because y'all all will be there.
Thank you.
When you think about something like that, you'd be like, wow. Because, you know, Cosby was on a trail to try to do the same thing that Byron is doing. When you hear people mm-hmm. say that it can't be done, particularly when it comes to African-American achievements, and we get told so much and we hear so much, oh, black folks will never be able to do this, or black folks will never be able to do that. When you look at stories like Byron Allen, the hope that it gives you to achieve, when you think about there was the saying that we'll never see a black president, and we ended up with Barack Obama, it's achievable. I just want to say that whatever you set your mind to, and this is what I tell young black people in the community, because I hear them say, you know, we'll never be able to do this because we're black. We'll never be able to do that because we're black. I have to, you know, combat that with the Byron Allen stories, the Barack Obama stories, all the stories that black achievement has proven over and over and over again that we can do it when we set our minds to it. You just can't let the naysayers and the Debbie Downers stop you from doing the things you set out to do. Be great. Achieve all that you want to achieve, and don't let anybody stop you. And so when I seen the Byron Allen story, I knew he was a billionaire, but I didn't know he owned all that that I just mentioned. So I'm encouraged to, you know, up my game and ownership. How about that? What do you What do you guys think of that? I mean, that is amazing, right?
It is amazing. It's interesting because I didn't know. I knew he was a legitimate billionaire. I knew he was very wealthy. I knew he had just purchased the Weather Channel not too long ago. But I didn't know he owned the vast number of other stations. I knew there were a lot of streaming platforms that he owned. I didn't really know what his wealth. But it's interesting because when you talk about billionaires, who do you hear about? You hear about Elon Musk, and you hear about Jeff Bezos, or some, or you know, Steve Jobs when he was alive, or somebody like that. But we don't necessarily hear, because he's not the only one. Oprah is a billionaire. I believe Michael Jordan might be a billionaire. Jay-Z is a billionaire, Beyonce, Rihanna. I mean, we have a lot of billionaires in a lot of different places, not just entertainment, who have done some wonderful things. I want to remind you guys at Morehouse, I think it was 2 years ago at this point now, remember there was the black billionaire who bought the class's debt, the graduating seniors who bought their debt. And everybody was like, wow, that's a great thing. And I was like, that is a great thing. I said, how many billionaires do we have that can actually set these kids up for success at an early age? So basically, you get to leap ahead. You don't have to worry about repaying. You can just focus on building your nest egg, starting your career, doing what you need to do to set your family up. So I think it's important that we talk about it. I think it's important that we celebrate it. I also want to talk about Tyler Perry, because Tyler Perry is a billionaire. And I think it's important that when, and I know this is a little bit off topic, but when we talk about Harry and Meghan and the obsession with the Sussexes, but he was the one that offered them his house. That's his house that they're living in, that he sold to them. And so the fact that an American, even though Meghan Markle is an American, but still, she had moved to London, was in the royal family, and when they decided, okay, enough is enough, and we want to come back to America, or she was like, you come to America with me, that she was able to reach out, and Tyler Perry was like, I got a house for you. Henrietta, I don't know how many people you know, but I know if someone says, hey, I'm struggling, I need a house, we got to make a phone call. I got, you know, I might have to call 3-4 people and say, hey, anybody got space, a room? But for somebody to just say, I have a house. Here you go. We'll work it out. Don't worry about it. Go ahead. And your neighbor is Oprah. Okay. I'm just saying.
You know, I don't know anybody like that. I hope to achieve one day to know some. I want to know Tyler Perry because, I mean, he's just a great inspiration to me. I really want to be on his let me put it out there, world, in Detroit. I want to be on his payroll. Let's be clear. I can act, sing, and I can dance still. So, and, or you know, if he knows somebody in his community that needs some solid, good home care services, I'm your girl. So, yes.
There you go. There you go.
Look, Oprah, Tyler, Rihanna, y'all got family members? Barbados, it don't matter. I will fly them in, or I would fly in and find them for you. Look, I need those kind of folks rubbing up against me, okay? So when you talk about, you know, being able to have somebody tell you I have a house, not just a house, a mansion.
Yes.
Come on.
With land. With land attached to it. Yes. And he's
with
blessed.
Land attached to it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Look, we all hope.
You know what I like about it? What I like about that, and I hate to cut you off. What I like about it, number one, there's no racism. There's no race card that's being played. See, and that's important. See, we have to, a lot of times we have to stop playing the race card and just get in the race. I wish
that's
I
right.
had a little help on you.
That's right.
We
you
know
are,
what's
do.
Going on.
That's
we're wrong.
Right
the Bible says the Bible says that once you're a child, you reason and act like a child. But when you become a man, that even includes woman, you put all childish things away. That even
that's
includes
right.
your reasoning. So I ain't worried about the card. I just got to. I'm asking God to keep me in the race because
that's
if
right.
all of those billionaires, they could come down right now. And send the Michael Van to a radio station, or Henry and Ivory, they could donate money to you. Kimberly Bassler David, they could donate millions to you. They could donate to the other sister that's online. Come on, help me out now. Y'all
amen.
Amen.
The songstress, Christy Lassiter.
The songstress. Let me say that. The songstress. Amen. God, they could donate. They could give all of us a nice donation and get it back during tax write-off. So why not? So yes, you are billionaires, but I'm asking, what are you billionaires actually doing for the people that's lessoners, that don't have? Give. You're going to get that money back, Jay-Z. You give $3 million to Michael Van to a radio show, you're going to get that money back. When you donate to these nonprofit organizations, you'll get that money back. So why not give it? And that shows that you are giving back to the community. God bless you. I wanted to get you out there.
Oh, no.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
Amen. And you hit a good point there because there is a lot of black dollars out here, black billionaires. They just have to find where they want to put that money, like you said, and use it as a tax write-off. But let me put it out there, and if they listen, you know, somebody listening know them, then they can relay this message back. We here at the Michael Van Toon Show and Community Highlights would love to have one of your large donations to keep our show running, to keep our community engaged. And guess what? The more you sow into the people that are trying to make the change will happen. So Jay-Z, Tyler Perry, Oprah Winfrey, Byron Allen, all of y'all, if you have to just be just tuning in, because sometimes they kind of trail and they troll these little, you know, stations and stuff, and they try to hear certain things and see if they can get in on it.
Yeah.
If you're listening, we welcome your donation. We welcome them.
That's right.
Because, you know, we work hard and we do a lot of work in our communities, and it does take money to get things moving. I say that honestly. Because a lot of things are moving slow because there's no resources behind it. And it's a lot of great things that can really be, you know, amplified with the right resources behind it. So, yeah, we have, I mean, the Michael Jordans of the world. But what I would like to see more of is those people uplifted more because they're in the mix, but they're not in the front row, so to speak, when it comes to media tech. Because they are only making it seem like it's either the Facebook dude, what's his name?
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name, but Jeff Bezos for Amazon, Elon Musk for Tesla.
Yeah, and we talk about the young guy who owned Facebook. What is his name? Zuckerberg. We talk about like them like they're the only billionaires in the world. But you have to understand, when you control media, you have the opportunity to be able to put out there who you want people to follow behind. So I will say this suggestively to Byron Allen, start uplifting more of the Tyler Perry. Start doing more stories on that. And I know they have their own platforms, but it would be nice for our children in our communities, our black sons and daughters, nieces and nephews, grandchildren and cousins to see that you know, there are some, there are black folks out here doing it well, you know, and that needs to be, you know, and Byron has the power to put that out there. If he owns it, I don't think he's being prohibited to do it, but it's just maybe he needs to hear a conversation like what to do or some suggestions on how to uplift black people in those types of seats. So, you know, they're out there, and thank God that we do have those, you know, and Jay-Z is a little bit more out there. He's starting to push his own self out there and make his platform known, and he's doing a lot of conversations around wealth. Now, if you remember when Jay-Z first started out, he was the chain wearing, gym shoe wearing, you know, he wanted to be seen. But if you notice how he evolved into this grown man, if you see Jay-Z now, if you didn't know him, you wouldn't know he was a billionaire. You wouldn't know it.
Exactly.
So that lets you know that it takes, when you get to a certain status, what are you trying to prove to somebody? Nothing. Because in the beginning, they knew Jay-Z had money because he let it be known. You know, he was flashy. Now he's just regular.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at all the billionaires of the world, they're not flashy. They're not.
Mm-mm. Not at all. They're regular. Not at all.
You know,
matter of fact, it's interesting because many of them have very similar behaviors. They wear the same clothes. They're not into designer labels at all. They may have nice cars, a beautiful home, second home, third home, whatever, a yacht or whatever. But when you're right, Henrietta, when you see them out in public, they're not advertising how much money they have. How many people do we see? And I will put this question to Andre Otis. I know, and you were talking about it, when you go out to these community meetings, you see the same people. And it's true. That is across the board. I don't care if you're running for president, national congress, state congress, school board seats, precinct delegates. That's what you see. Those people are engaged. The problem is, as you said, people are so focused on, I need to go to work. Not that we don't need to go to work, but I got to make money. I got to do this. I got to do that. That they don't see the benefit of their involvement because you're so focused on, I got to have this so I can look like this. I need this so I can be this and people will respect me and I can get to here. And you don't have a vision or a purpose, as Bishop Kathy said initially in the beginning of the show, because you don't understand what your purpose is. So you just out here flailing, trying to do a bunch of stuff to impress people, as the meme says on social media, they don't even care about you. So we see you dripping in chains, or we see you dripping with the most expensive purse or red bottom shoes that you probably can't afford that really aren't comfortable, or whatever it is, while you out here trying to showcase, and you don't have $20 in your bank account. Or as one of my aunts said to me when I was much younger, she said, it's nice to have a lot of purses. But she said, if you can't put no money in it, what's the point of it? If you buying a purse but you don't have $20 to put in it, what is it? You just showing off to somebody so somebody can think you have money.
Exactly. Exactly. And that tends to be a big thing, too. Now, before I get to my response, Michael Vantool is listening online, everybody. So everyone, please say hello to Michael Vantool, who is actually listening to the conversation that we're having. He says that we are doing great, and we sound very good, and we sound very clear online. And he just wanted to let us know that he's listening, and we're doing a great job.
Good morning, Michael.
Amen.
Thank
Shout
you.
Out. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Mike.
Yes.
Good morning.
So, you know, when it comes to the imagery of trying to look the part, I have to wonder, you know, when it comes to especially African-Americans, and we're big on, you know, I got to look like I'm expensive. I got to go spend all this money. And mind you, just to throw this in as well, we are a trillion-dollar consumer. And so when we talk about trillions of dollars being consumed out of our communities where there's lack of housing, lack of education, lack of everything, where do we get the money to spend trillions of dollars? And I know people work hard and they take their hard-earned money and they put it into, they consume it with material things that will not yield anything in return once that is bought. Like you buy a pair of Louboutins, those way above you, they don't increase in value. They decrease. So, again, when you buy one of those Louboutin bags or one of those Hermes bags or Chanel bags or Finney bags or you know, even, I mean, I'm guilty of buying some, not none of those high levels, but I bought some Dooney Burks and some Michael Kors and some, you know, Jacobs. Marc Jacobs. I mean, but, you know, let me be honest. I buy stuff on sale. I never, ever. One time I bought an Armani suit, and I wanted that suit so bad because it was the perfect fit, color, and everything. Still have that suit. And I had just started working in the corporate sector, and I wore that suit to work. And let me tell you, everybody knew it was an Armani suit. They looked at me like, oh, my gosh, she must have came through some money. But what they didn't realize was I bought it from a thrift shop. Had it cleaned. And I'm going to tell you now, I am savvy with my dollar. I can look expensive without paying the price. But what I want people, young black people, to understand is, when you're out there working hard and you talk about you want to be a millionaire and you talk about you want to be a billionaire and you want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be all these wonderful things you see on the front end, on the back end, it's going to take work. So that means you can't spend $300-$500 on a T-shirt, $1,600-$1,700 on a pair of shoes that you're going to wear and advertise every day. How dare me put on a pair of $1,400 shoes that I got to wear every day because I want everybody to see that I got it? No. So I think it's just a redirection of teaching our young people and even some of our older people financial literacy and how to be able to make that dollar work. How do we take those trillions of dollars and put it back in our community? How do we make the people we go to and spend our dollars invest in our community? Because that our dollars, again, like our vote, is our voice. If I'm going to spend money with you, I need to be engaged about what are you doing in my community. You're here in my community, and my community is buying. And when you close your shop, you go back to your community. How many dollars, other than the tax dollars, that you yield from because you have a business here in the city of Detroit or in any black community, other than the tax dollars that they have to pay, what else are you investing out of those trillions of dollars in the black community that we so givenly give to consumers? So I think a lot of that is when you talk about, you know, and Jay-Z has a platform on financial literacy. He started to talk about how to be able to become those types of statuses. And I like that about him because he's given nuggets that will help future generations to be able to be sustainable financially. If we can get more of that platform going and get our young people understand, you don't take a lot to look like something. Put that money away and use it for something that's going to give you a greater yield, we will start to see our communities grow as well, moving to the generation moving forward. Even now in our generation, we can still start somewhere even now. So we can be financially stable in our older years as our younger children are growing to be adults. They can be sustainable and help keep our communities growing. Because you have to ask the question, how do other communities do it? What are they doing that we're not doing? And, you know, that we can get into all the logistics of that. But I will definitely say financial literacy is one of the things we need to teach our children and we need to learn ourselves.
Just like we need to remind ourselves why we need to vote, because just to add on to that, Henrietta, you're absolutely right. We are one of the biggest consumers in the United States, in the entire country. Our dollar is valuable, which is why everybody markets to us on a Saturday morning when your kids are watching TV, whatever it is that they're watching, they're marketing to them because they know we have the money to spend it. It may not seem like it in our community. We are all a group that when election time comes around, when we vote, when we actually vote, things happen. We saw in 2016 when we didn't vote, what happened? Donald Trump came to power and turned this country upside down. And we're still trying to fix some of the issues. But so much has been done. We see so much damage. And our trust in our institutions, our trust in the Supreme Court. You couldn't have said 20 years ago that we'd be having this conversation about Roe v. Wade being overturned. I remember coming up in elementary school and studying about Sandra Day O'Connor and learning how she was the first woman justice and what this meant and how Roe v. Wade came to be and all of this, and see where we are in conversations. See where we are in conversations about black men being stopped by police and being killed each and every time. Yet, when white people go out and do mass shootings, many times they come back alive. And no one can give us an explanation. And we always say, if they're alive, well, we know they're white. If they're dead, we know they're black or a person of color.
And this has just happened to the young, I'm sorry, this, when you mentioned that piece, Kim, the young man who was apprehended, the 15-year-old Caucasian young man was apprehended safely. And they used that word. He was captured safely. And that bothered me. Yes. Let me tell you what bothered me. It bothered me because I was that every time one of their counterparts, they, you know, it's just their mindset. They're going to look out for theirs no matter what they do. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And I said it, and a couple of, I think Mr. Otis even said it, had that been a black 15-year-old, he wouldn't know he wasn't going to be captured safely. He was going to be killed on sight. You said something, Kim, that's very profound. Why do we need answers to that? Why, we still haven't had answers. Why is it you can apprehend a mass shooter all the time of a Caucasian persuasion safely? As if you are, this is to me, it sets out that mindset that we're not going to harm you. We understand what you might, we may, we try to understand why you did it. Although they may have a pre-notion as to why, but they don't give options to other persuasions like that. You do something like that, you're going to die. Like the young black man, 2-year-old Porter Brooks, killed in Detroit, shot over, well, he was shot at 38
times.
And but my thing is, he was waving a knife. And my thing is, it would, you know, they stood as if, from what I was told from some friends who live in that area, said they stood as if they were shooting at a target practice. They stood in position and massacred and just mutilated that boy. Now, mind you, he had a knife. They were trying to talk him down. There could have been other ways. I've seen videos of young white men being apprehended who's waving knives back, trying to snatch the guns out the cop's pockets, and somehow they use some type of tactical training to subdue him or her without harm. Not our people. We never. You can be 100 feet away waving the knife. They still feel threatened. To me, that's where we police reform and retraining need to come in when it comes to African-American people of color. Because when it comes to us, it seems like all the time, very far and few in between any other time where it don't happen, but more often than no, where we are massacred and we're killed committing those types of crimes. When if we talk about persuasions of the white race, they are, it's rare that they have to shoot and kill anywhere. When they do, it's just so sad that we had, look, law enforcement literally being teared to have to have killed someone of that, of their own persuasion. Because they don't want to do it, but they're quick to do it to us. So then we need answers. We need answers.
Right. We do. Absolutely.
I'm sorry, Chaplain. Go ahead, darling. I apologize. Chaplain, were you about to say something? Or Mr. Otis was
no, that was
you
me.
About to say I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead, Mr. Otis.
When we talk about politics and voting and things like that, I have to be, you know, realistic about it. When we were growing up, of course, I can't speak for you all, but as a millennial, when we were growing up, the emphasis wasn't on local politics. The emphasis wasn't on state politics. It was always federal government, you know, whereas in the suburbs, they spoke about judges and their school boards and those things like that, because I've had those conversations with those kids, with me fortunate being able to go off to college and play football. The unfortunate part about the whole financial literacy thing is we forget there's a whole genre of music and movies and entertainment that does nothing but glorify us spending all day long trying to keep up with the Joneses. Even Jay-Z and a few other people were guilty of that at one point in time. Yes, it's nice that everybody's trying to do things now, but again, how much of this stuff has really set us back years
to just not just Donald Trump, but even some of the things we've done ourselves. I'm very unpolitic about accountability because, you know, I was once was out on the streets. I was once a person that did some things that I'm not proud of. But I had to one day wake up and realize I got kids out here. You know what I'm saying? How much of this can I keep going forward with and then expect to bear some great fruit out of my being? So it boils to accountability on us. We got to stop making excuses for why we can't do this, that, and the other. But when those Jordans dropped yesterday, you had people that was in line since 8 o'clock the night before. And it's not
exactly what it
is, money. I don't care what you do with your money. At the same time, don't get out here making excuses and act like you can't stand your behind in the line. I just know for a fact it was 1,000 of y'all ready to spend $300 on a pair of shoes, and voting is free.
Exactly. That's right.
We start being accountable for our own inactions. I said to somebody the other day, inaction causes an action that causes a reaction. And all of a sudden, we forget that. So we can't cross Donald Trump because we didn't show up. What we can do now is show up for our local, show up for our state, and then show back up before to make sure that we Donald Trump again. Or we're going to continue having these dialogues and we're not voting and then not saying because we're not holding ourselves accountable. The white man, guess what? Sometimes we got to realize we create our own boogeyman. This isn't 1965 anymore. Some of the stuff we're doing right now, we're shooting our own selves in the head. And they just sit back letting us do it. They don't have to do it for us anymore. We're doing our doggone selves. And I'm young enough to know, you know, again, at some point, accountability has to become our number one word. And until that happens, we're going to continue on these Sunday mornings talking about how do we get people out to vote. And not realizing that there's a lot of people in our neighborhood that got a lot of money, and they just not spending it and doing it the right way. But I ain't going to hold y'all up on that for hours. I'm sorry.
Thank you for that, Andre, because you're right.
Well, you hit the nail on the head with that. And until we are realizing that accountability is part of how we grow in our communities, and we can't always or continually play the blame game, we have so many opportunities that we didn't have 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And all the resources we have, it's like put the truth out there, how many people going to gravitate to it? And it's also a sad thing, too. And I'm going to say this, when you got people standing in line to buy, to make Michael Jordan continue making him a billionaire. And I don't know what was going on all of yesterday, because even though when I was out working, I was going through 7 mile, 8 mile, and I kept seeing all these long lines at the dispensary. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, if that's what you do, that's your thing. Well, that's your thing. But what bothered me is I've seen people outside with voter registration tables and not a person in sight. And they had food, chips, and information to give to people in the community to help them sustain themselves through the power of their vote, to educate them on what they can do once they start learning what voting is, why it's important to vote, make sure you know who you're voting for, you know, ready to get them engaged and nobody in sight. But then you turn around, you see people said, I mean, the lines were long, 2 blocks long, and two dispensaries I saw, one on 7 mile and one on 8 mile. And I'm like, what are they giving away at these dispensaries that got people lined up? And let me be clear, it was black and white and Mexican folk in line to get whatever one of these dispensaries were giving out. So that's
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
I really hate to be the devil's advocate sometimes, but that's just the role I have to play sometimes to make things clear and plain. We have a lot of people that give away a lot of free things because a lot of people need it. A lot of people need the help. But if I've been in these lines before, so I had a conversation with people that will tell you, I don't care about voting. And my thing is this. What if that grant that got these free backpacks went away because you didn't vote? What if those benefits because you were on food stamps and things like that go away because you didn't vote? Then you will be sitting up there looking broke, messed up, and lost because you need the help, but you're shunning away the process. what we don't understand is, and we forget about it, a lot of these things that we have are because of elections. Mm-hmm. Rick Snyder came in here a few years ago and cut a bunch of people off the cash benefits. And they were trying to figure out, well, how did he do it? Because you didn't go vote.
Mm-hmm. Right.
People are wondering why these child support system is messed up and the court system is messed up. Because guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Judges are voting. So if you feel like you're not going to have a fair chance, did you vote?
Mm-hmm.
So we got to start making things a lot clearer for people and get them to understand. You can keep going this route all you want to. The side they're going. And they're going in droves.
Mm-hmm.
If 2020 we in trouble because now Detroit gets to share a pot of money with the suburbs that we've never had to share before. But you don't want to get out there and vote, right? So when your benefits and everything start getting cut, these schools stop getting money in the city of Detroit, you can't cry about it because you were not there when we had the opportunity to stop it.
Absolutely. And on that note, go ahead. I was going to say, Chapman, give us your comment because we've got 4 minutes and a couple of seconds left, and I want to hear from you, Chapman Kathy.
Well, I want to say to you, I'm with what that brother just said, 100%. You ain't no need to talk about nothing if you ain't standing in the voting line. And ain't no need to talk about why anything is any other type of way when you didn't get out there with nobody. You ain't kidding. We'll, everybody got a birthday, and you always got somebody that's bringing you a gift. I'm telling you, it's time now that we consider our vote as a way of saying thank you to everyone that died. I got to keep drilling that in doors. Every anniversary, married couples, they do something. You're doing something. So the voting, that is our way of saying, thank you. I appreciate your bloodshed.
Sorry, because I mentioned that earlier, and I wanted to give, I couldn't remember who said that, and it was you in the last Sunday show, so I want to uplift that. And I kept saying I had a conversation with someone, and the conversation was on the show last week on you making that same statement you just made about saying thank you, and that has resonated with me. So I want to give you your credit on that. You were the one who said it, and I just, I have a lot going on, so I couldn't remember what I had the conversation with, but now that it hit me, that was you who said it last Sunday.
Yes, we have to have a way. We find a way to say thank you to our wives, to the husbands, to our girlfriends, to our boyfriends, or jobs. We find a way to say thank you to our family that's still alive. We even find a way to go to cemeteries and visit sometimes, even though the body's not going to come up out the ground. When do we show all of our ancestors who struggled and died to get us to where we're at? When do we tell them thank you? I wish I had some help on here.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. And so, listen. We got 2 minutes left, actually, in the show. I want to just remind the voters in the city of Detroit: November 8th is the general election day. Polls open up at 7 a.m. and close at 8 p.m. Please make sure you are out there voting. We have the gubernatorial race. We have the partisan selection of the battle ballot, U.S. Congressional Representative, Governor, Lieutenant Governor, Attorney General, Secretary of State, Wayne County Executive, Sheriff, Commissioners, State Senators and Representatives, State Board of Education members, and members of local states and colleges, all vote ballot. And so we are just wanting to make sure you have proposals 1, 2, and 3 on your ballot. Proposal 1, legislative term limits and disclosure amendments. Proposal 2, right to vote policy amendment. And proposal 3, right to reproductive freedom. Listen, everybody, we have had a great show. Michael Van Tool, thank you again for entrusting the Sunday morning team to sit in with you this morning. And I'm going to take us out with one of our songs by our Sunday morning person at large, Randall Smith. And I am going to say, everyone have a great Sunday, and thank you all for such an amazing conversation. Thank you, Andre Otis, for joining us this morning. Everyone have a great Sunday, and we are out.
God bless.
God bless y'all.
Woodson Family Insurance Agency is an independent, family-owned AAA agency located in downtown Auburn Hills. specializing in auto, home, condo, renters, watercraft, recreational vehicles, motorcycle insurance, and life insurance. We also sell AAA memberships. In the very near future, we'll also be brokered to sell Medicare insurance plans. Trust Woods & Family Insurance to help you navigate through the new auto insurance reform that started July 2nd, 2020. Call us for all your questions and let us help you make the right choice for you. We can be reached at 248-572-6506. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Woodson Family Insurance Agency.